Media Spotlight, the biblical commentary on religious and secular media. Here's your host, Albert James Dagan.
When in Gone with the Wind, Clark Gable as Rhett Butler uttered that forbidden word, it marked the beginning of the end for motion picture censorship. While certain themes alluding to immorality were up to that time acceptable, providing they were presented within the parameters of what then constituted good taste, the dam broke, pun intended, with Gable's flippant remark to Vivian Leigh's Scarlett O'Hara. Since then, not only profanity, but the vilest of obscene language and blasphemy have become the norm in today's movies. Language is not the only area in which today's motion pictures flaunt their total disregard for morality. The introduction of nudity, heavy sexual themes, glorification of homosexuality, violence, and even graphic sex have found their way into the neighborhood theater under the auspices of a rating system that does more to encourage such things than to control or limit them. On June 27, 1984, the Motion Picture Association of America announced the establishment of its PG-13 rating. This new rating was adopted in response to the outcry from parents and some in the media decrying the PG rating for having become too vague, often granted to films whose content was sexually explicit and or extremely violent. PG-13 was hailed as the long-needed remedy to the unreliability of the PG rating, which was often misunderstood to mean that films carrying that label were suitable for any age. Ostensibly, parents are now given the opportunity to distinguish between PG, parental guidance for all ages, and PG-13, parental guidance for children over age 13. Essentially, however, the PG-13 rating is merely advisory. It is not a compulsory standard requiring theater personnel, usually teenagers themselves, to bar preteens from attendance. What the MPAA implied with its PG-13 rating is that current PG films are suitable for adolescents. Rather than tightening its restrictions on content suitable for a PG rating, in essence it threw the public a bone with the PG-13 rating. The PG-13 rating reflects the industry's conviction that foul language, sexual content, occult themes, and other ungodliness are suitable for preteens under the current PG standards. At the same time, it justifies the relaxed standards of the former PG rating, now PG-13, allowing much of the former R-rated material, such as nudity and graphic violence, bloody butcherings, gore, etc., to be viewed by adolescents. The fact is that, like the PG rating, PG-13 is often granted to films whose producers purposely insert questionable content in order to have their films exposed to a wider audience than a G rating would garner. Easily, 80% of all PG and PG-13 films are blatant in their promotion of ungodly lifestyles. Here, Christians should take note of the effect such content can have upon their walk with Christ. If we enjoy the depiction of sin on the screen, we are guilty of that sin before our Father. Since Media Spotlight's inception in July 1977, we have reviewed more than 400 motion pictures, analyzing their content in light of Scripture. It has never been our purpose to act as a reviewing service to help Christians select their entertainment or to encourage them to support wholesome entertainment and avoid unwholesome entertainment. Rather, Media Spotlight is a source of information by which Christians can recognize the unscriptural nature of the world's voices and the ungodly effect they have upon our thinking, and put up safeguards against those voices. That's why we point out the world's entertainment and information media digressions from biblical standards. I'd like to cite some statistics regarding immorality in the motion picture industry. Though much of what follows can be applied to the print and electronic media, this report deals specifically with secular motion pictures. It's meant to open the eyes of Christians to the ungodly influences to which they have been exposing their minds and spirits. In the area of language, of the many films we've reviewed, fully 90%, involving all ratings from G to R, contain language that should be offensive to Christians. Almost 80% of all films blaspheme our Lord's name. 70% utilize obscene language. 76% contain what some might consider milder forms of profanity. Obscene gestures can be found in many films, including those rated PG. Christians should be concerned that 8 out of every 10 films contain blasphemy of God or Christ, many utilizing other offensive language as well. The more we hear such language, the more calloused we become to it. Our spirits must eventually become desensitized to the denigration of our Savior's name. In time, He will become less precious to us. It isn't unusual to hear Christians, even in the Christian media, carelessly use language such as, "My God," as exclamations of surprise or other emotions. I believe this is because the body of Christ has become insensitive to the holiness of God's person and name through exposure to such misuse in the media and society. The more we allow the world to pour such irreverence and worse into our minds, the more irreverent we will become. We must hold His name and position in the highest regard. If we do this, we will not overlook the many times His name is taken in vain in motion pictures. We will be offended, as He must certainly be. Exodus 20:7 says, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Another offense in motion pictures is nudity. Almost 50% of all movies from G to R rated contain nudity for obviously titillating and prurient reasons. Even the G rating doesn't mean much anymore if the nudity is fleeting. But why, some may ask, should nudity be such a big deal? If God created us, why should we be so prudish about our bodies? Certainly Christians should take a healthy attitude about their bodies, but that doesn't mean nudity is a legitimate means of entertainment. Yes, God created man and woman, but when they first sinned, their bodies became changed. They were created perfect, but after their rebellion, their bodies began to reflect their sin nature. We have inherited our first parents' sin nature, and now our sin nature is reflected in our bodies and manifested in aging and death. Those who flaunt their nakedness are flaunting their sin nature. To them, it too is beautiful. The proliferation of nudity in today's films points out the movie industry's love of sin and desire to flaunt its sin to the world. As Christians, we should recognize this and be aware that the chance of encountering nudity in movies today is 50-50. Though R-rated films are among the worst offenders in this category with an 80% ratio, 30% of PG and 50% of PG-13 films contain nudity. Know, too, that among the remaining films that don't contain nudity, many contain immodest costuming and heavy sexual themes. Regarding sexual themes, the trend to glorify immoral sex, especially among the young, is also on the increase in films. The depiction or implication of adultery, fornication, prostitution, homosexuality, even bestiality is prevalent. And this in over 50% of all films. One might say that this leaves 50% that are clean. But this isn't the case. While many films do not depict immoral acts, they do have heavy sexual themes and much sexual innuendo intended to denigrate sex and instill immoral attitudes. In these areas, PG and PG-13 films take the lead. These films, most of which are designed to lure adolescents, often stop just short of depicting sexual activity, but they are often liberally laced with crass sexual terminology and promote sex as no more than an act of self-gratification. Often these themes are interspersed with the promotion of drugs and alcohol for teens and even preteens. This naturally leads to the subject of rebellion. Among the themes incorporated into films designed to appeal to the young, rebellion is very prevalent. It is no coincidence that themes involving the challenging of parental authority and outright ridicule of parents, as well as other authority figures, are found in more than twice as many PG-rated films than R-rated. Anti-government themes, even communist and socialist propaganda, are also most prevalent in films designed to appeal to the young. While we can recognize that our government as part of the world system is intrinsically anti-Christ, we are still commanded by God's Word to respect those in authority and to obey all laws that do not compel us to act contrary to God's Word. An attitude of rebellion in ancient Israel's youth was punishable by death, and we are informed that, in God's eyes, rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Christian parents who permit their children to fill their minds with rebellious attitudes will reap the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is increased violence in society. Twice as many R-rated films than PG-rated films, 70% to 34%, depict excessive violence. But G-rated films equal the R-rated in this category, some even being brutal in their depictions. According to Scripture, violence is an activity of the rebellious and degenerate. Yet Christians continue to enjoy the depiction of violence in the imagined conflict between the world's concepts of good and evil, not recognizing that they are often one and the same. An example is the force of Star Wars, white witchcraft versus black witchcraft. Such occult themes prevail in the mass media. Themes of an occult nature and various false doctrines are categories that work most insidiously against the mind. Here, too, G-rated films outstrip by far those of other ratings. This is especially true of Disney Studios productions. While the 23% of all R-rated films that allude to some occult activity is equal to that of G-rated films, the overall occult nature of G-rated films is greater. But when it comes to espousing spiritual teachings contrary to Scripture, what we classify as false doctrine, the 40% of G-rated films dwarf the 15% of PG and 12% of R-rated films. Clearly, the danger in G-rated movies is the exposure to young minds of teachings contrary to God's Word. If the Lord's words of warning in Matthew 18:6 to those who would cause a little one to sin are applicable today, it must be here. But the blame lies not only with those who produce and distribute sin to lure children. It also lies with those parents who allow their children to fill their minds with evil. All who cause little ones to stumble would be better off, as Jesus said, if a millstone were hung around their necks and they were cast into the sea. There are other considerations besides these when we think of evil in the motion picture industry. There are additional trends in today's films which indicate the direction in which the movie industry is moving. Themes revolving around sexual abuse of children are increasing, as are homosexual themes. Scatology is becoming more prevalent, especially men's room scenes, as if to confirm the gutter mentality of producers. About 15% of all films ridicule Christ or Christianity in one way or another, besides the 80% that blasphemously use the Lord's name. This offense continues to increase. Graphic sex has thus far been confined to R-rated films, about 15% so far. This involves scenes that 15 years ago would have been found only in X-rated films. Yet among PG and PG-13 films, there are sufficiently raunchy scenes that 35 years ago would have relegated such movies to porno theaters. Clearly, motion picture theaters have become places not to entertain, but to indoctrinate into ungodliness. Some would argue that they've always been such places. But now, gone even are the boundaries of former self-imposed censorship that ensured at least a modicum of good taste and morality, even if Christ has seldom been lifted up. As evil waxes worse, we see the love of many for Christ growing cold, swept up in the frenzy of idol worship. Christians continue to fill their minds with sewage at the expense of their eternal rewards. The immorality that pervades today's films is not only an indication of the thinking among film producers, it is a measure of our society's plummet into the depths of degradation. For if society would not support these films, they would not be made. While according to a recent Gallup poll, 80% of Americans claim to be Christians, 90% of media decision makers claim to have no religion at all, let alone a relationship with Christ. Yet these producers could not survive on the money of the 20% of the population that don't claim to be Christians. This, then, must tell us something about the genuineness of most people who call themselves Christian, even so-called fundamentalist evangelical Christians who support these films with their dollars to no less a degree than do others. Truly, we American Christians honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. How else can we explain our love affair with the media whose output is so lacking in godliness? Now, we should make a distinction between good taste and morality, as well as between morality and God's standards. In the first instance, there are those things which, though shocking to our Western concept of good taste, are not necessarily immoral. For example, scenes depicting flatulence or belching aren't necessarily immoral, though Christians may find them undesirable examples of humor. The Scriptures do exhort us to be sober, that is, serious-minded, and not given to frivolity. Christian children, while allowed their times of play and fun-seeking, should be encouraged in good manners and socially acceptable behavior. Films that promote unacceptable behavior, though not immoral, may be detrimental to the cultivation of good taste and proper behavior befitting the Christian lifestyle. Immorality, on the other hand, is any thought, word, or deed contrary to the biblically established principles of godly living. Fornication, adultery, lying, anything classified as sin, when condoned or glorified in a motion picture, becomes a statement of defiance against God's laws. Absence of such, however, does not necessarily constitute compliance with God's laws. There is a distinction between morality and godliness. Since it is only reasonable that godly people lead moral lives, the exhibition of morality or the absence of immorality have nothing to do with attaining a right standing with God. Our actions are totally devoid of merit unless we are led by the Spirit of God. We can hardly congratulate ourselves for passing up one film that glorifies immorality in favor of another that, though not immoral, does nothing to edify our spirits and glorify Jesus Christ. In terms of the Father's call upon our lives, both kinds are a waste of time. The impact not only of motion pictures, but of the mass communications media in general, is no less extensive upon the church than it is upon society. Through the mass media, the world has evangelized the church to a far greater degree than the church has evangelized the world. There are many voices in the secular and religious arenas whose messages are, on the surface, compatible with the Christian faith. Without understanding, Christians can fall into spiritual error because of these messages. Yet Christians eagerly listen to the wisdom of the world offered through secular news sources and in their entertainment. It isn't always a case of ignorance, but, sadly, an apathetic or compromising attitude on the part of Christians willing to overlook evil if it is presented in an appetizing way, especially by one of their favorite media stars. At times, Christians esteem those media personalities even above their brethren in Christ. Thus, they overlook the instances when their favorite stars use the name of Jesus as an expletive or promote philosophies that oppose God's word. Even obvious immorality is accepted as entertainment. Those Christians who want to be careful often attend movies, watch television, or engage in other forms of entertainment, only to be offended or disappointed by what they encounter. This is because the only reviews available have been those based upon the faulty standards of the world. As a result, the ungodly philosophies of the world are promoted through the financial support of God's people. It's incumbent upon Christians to hold God's truth in highest esteem. This cannot be done by accepting teachings contrary to God's word or by engaging in the vicarious enjoyment of sin. If we enjoy the portrayal of sin on the screen, we are guilty of that sin. Many Christians have become so dependent upon the media that they aren't even aware of how lukewarm they have become. What has escaped the understanding of Christians in general is that what they believe is more often shaped by the teachings of men than by the word of God. This is true even of fundamental and evangelical Christians who think they have a lock on truth because of the banner under which they display their Christianity. Jesus warns us in Matthew 24:21 that in the last days the love of many toward him would grow cold because of the increase of evil in the world. There is little time to waste in the short span of human life granted us by God. We must choose today whom we will serve.
You have been listening to Media Spotlight, the biblical commentary on the religious and secular media. Media Spotlight is dedicated to the task of informing Christians of present trends in the mass communications media that are seducing the minds of men and keeping them from a full relationship with God. If you'd like to receive our regular publications and special reports, write to Media Spotlight, Post Office Box 290, Redmond, Washington, 98073. Thank you for listening. Until next time, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.